In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Eastern strangers appeared in Jerusalem asking about the King of the Jews. They had seen a star in the east and they had come to worship him. This is the King who will reign over all Jerusalem. This is David's son, yet David's Lord. This is the King who will reign not only over one country, but will rule over all nations forever and ever, and his kingdom will never end. He was their king, so they came to worship him. Well, they probably didn't understand all of this, but they did know that the star announced his birth. The scriptures, however, showed them where he was to be born. In Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, for he belonged to the house and lineage of David. And as they went, the star they had seen appeared once again, and as the scriptures say, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Upon entering the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they fell down on their knees and worshipped them. They planted their faces in the ground in obeisance to him, for he was their king, he was their Lord. These great men, sages, not kings, but wise men, fall down before a tiny baby, a Jew nonetheless, a foreigner, yet he was their king. So they ignored the word of Herod and returned to their country by another route, for this king lay before them. He's still the son of Mary. He's still a Jew. This very day, he's still of the house and lineage of David. That has not changed. And so we Gentiles, we fall down before him to worship him. A Gentile is anyone who is not a Jew. So we bend the knee, we bow at our waist in obeisance to him, for he is our king. He is our king. And he is present here this very day. You know that. You believe that, therefore you confess that with your actions. Admittedly, it's not natural. And so it's uncomfortable for us to show reverence. Nowadays, we seem to be more accustomed to snapping pictures at monumentous events instead of gazing in awe and wonder. But as kids must be taught how to behave at their father's dinner table, so also we must learn how to behave in the presence of our King. We must learn reverence. Our flesh fights against it all the way. Can't we stand instead of kneel? Can't we sit instead of so much up and down? Doesn't Pastor know we have kids to wrangle? It's hard. Can't we just make it a bit easier for us, a bit more comfortable for us? Well, imagine if the scripture said, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they fell down on their knees to give him a big hug and to play with him. Doesn't sound right, because that's not how redeemed sinners act in the presence of their Savior. Actions matter. Contrary to what the vast majority of people think, contrary to popular opinion, God is not your buddy. And so you do not treat him as such. Your actions matter. Ceremonies teach unseen realities. Faith spills over into actions, into reverence, for he is the eternal God wrapped in flesh. The Magi believed it, and so showed it in their actions. We believe it, and so we also show it in our actions. Faith teaches the body. Actions are important, and we call those actions ceremonies. Every church has them. Every church, even Saddleback, has ceremonies that they follow. The question is, what are those ceremonies teaching? For some, it's sitting back and sipping a cup of coffee while the pastor marches back and forth preaching. For others, it's falling down on their knees, even as pastor falls down on his knees. Like children at our Father's table, we must learn how to behave. We must learn reverence. It's not natural to us. Because the desire of Herod is really our sinful flesh desire as well. We want to dethrone Christ and set ourselves up as king. We want to do what is best for us, what is easiest for us. So reverence must be learned. Because submission to a king is completely foreign to us. But who would refuse to submit to this king? He's not a harsh dictator. But he's a gentle king who shepherds his people to a place of peace and rest. He doesn't take from us like the rulers of this world, but he gives us eternal things. There are no taxes, no dues that have to be paid for you to sit here. For his kingdom is not like the kingdoms of this world. He demands nothing from you, but graciously gives you all things, eternal things, for he is an eternal king. His throne was a cross. His weapon was his blood. His shield was his body. And yet his prize, his reward, was you. He endured the pains and the torture of hell so that you might be spared from all pain and suffering forever. This child who drew Eastern sages to himself was lifted up on the cross so that all nations might be drawn to him, for he is king and Lord over all. And as the morning star leads us to Christ, we do not run up to him and give him a big hug or simply find excitement in playing games with him. No, we fall down on our knees in holy awe and reverence, if that is, we are able. This is not just some metaphor, some figures of speech. It's how we act and behave with reverence and dignity because the king himself is here. So why would we ever not submit to this king? Our lineage doesn't matter. Our heritage, our ancestry, doesn't prevent his love. Who we are and what we have done up to this point cannot stop him from loving us. This Jew is our king. And so we are his people, united together as one holy nation, a kingdom of priests by his blood. So these are your fellow countrymen. These are the people you will spend eternity with. This is your family right here, regardless of your differences. This is where you belong. So you are not here simply because you all think the same way. You are not here to try to connect with people who have the same values or the same thoughts about God that you have. No. You are here because you have been brought out of darkness and into his wonderful light. You are here to worship your king. For once you were not a people, now you are a people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So like the Magi, you come before him with holy reverence, because this Jew is your king. And he's present here this very day. So faith spills over into actions. Faith teaches the body how to behave before this king, because faith submits to him fully and completely. And submission is shown in the way that we behave. Faith cannot keep silent. It can't restrain itself. But as it bursts out into song on Christmas, so also it drops to the knee with the Magi. It confesses to all that are present, to all the world, that this Savior King, this maker of heaven and earth, is not stuck somewhere up there, but he's bodily present here in bread and in wine, in word and in sacrament. And he's not my buddy, but he is my Savior who redeemed me, his unworthy subject. This is no metaphor. This is the reality of what is going on here. And so we do not worship him metaphorically. That is, we don't just simply say we bow before him, but we actually do it because he is present and he is our Savior. Neither do we simply say that we submit to him, but we actually do it. And that's not just restricted to kneeling once or twice or bowing a few times, but our entire lives are his. We submit to him fully and completely, for he has our heart. He has our heart. He is king, we are not. He is in control of all things. He is in control of us, we are not. And so we are not free to alter and change his commands because it's best for us or we find it easiest or most comfortable for ourselves. That is simply to say we're not free to dethrone him and set ourselves up as king. No, rather we submit to him in our life, in our daily life, and that is your worship. Out there is your worship of God as you live in accordance with his will. For you know that he is not harsh, but he is a gentle and a humble king. And in him you find rest. For his way is the way of love. Submit to him, love him. Not because you have to. Not because you have to or else something bad will happen to you. No, but because he is the one who has redeemed us, body, soul, mind, and spirit. We don't just say that everything is his, but we actually show it. Like the Magi, we give him offerings and gifts. We spend money to beautify this sanctuary, and it's not a waste, because here is where our Savior King comes to us in word and sacrament. So we confess that, not simply in the way that we act, but in the way we decorate and build our churches. An auditorium is not good enough for us. We want beauty, we want art, we want the best of the best for our king. No, he doesn't need it. No, he doesn't. Neither did he need the Magi's gifts. Still, they gave them. And still, we give him our gifts as well. Yet the highest way to worship him is not to bow down, and neither is it to sing or to pray to him or even to give him gifts. But the highest way to worship him is to receive him in word and in sacrament. Sadly, many churches don't get this part either. And so the word and the sacraments, specifically the sacrament, becomes really an extra thing that happens just a few times. But the highest way to worship him is to bow your head and to receive his forgiveness in faith. The highest way to worship him is to open your mouth and to eat his body and drink his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. For this is who he is. He is a Savior. He is your Savior. He was not born in Bethlehem so the Magi could worship him, and neither is he present here today so that you might worship him. But he was born in Bethlehem so that he might serve and give his life as a ransom for those Magi and for the whole world. And he is born, and he has come here this day to give his life to you, so that you might have the fullness of joys waiting for you. If you believe that you are a sinner, then you will want nothing more than to receive his gifts. And then, like the Magi, you will fall down on your knees in awe and reverence, and give to him your gifts. For this tiny Jew, this man who grew up and was crucified for you, is alive and is present here this very day to give you his eternal blessings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.